20 years of hard labor? What kind of a life would that be? Tony, you didn't like to hear that. In fact, Tony was a little surprised that he got that kind of a sentence, but she had to do it. She had to. I mean, that's all she could do. So he was stuck now. His wife just sentenced him to 20 years in the kitchen. And he would have to do all the cooking. He'd have to do all the washing of the pots and pans. And she came into the room and said, "Hey, how come you haven't started cleaning already?" Well, he didn't have an answer at all. He just said, "Well, I've got to go out with the boys." "Hey, you get back right over here now. You're not going anywhere. You sit right down and you start cleaning those dishes so we can have supper tonight." So he said, "I can't. I sentenced you to 20 years and you're going to hold to it. That's how it's going to work. Hard labor, too. That doesn't mean just stand around in the kitchen whiffing all the fumes." And he said, "I'm not going to sit there and whiff all the fumes. I'm going to sit there and sit there. I'm not going to do any work." "Oh, you're not, are you? Well, I've got a little trick for you," she said. In fact, I got a little trick for you. And what she did, she spun around 3 times, did the splits, popped back up, and pulled a little worm out of her apron pocket. He said, "How'd you do that?" She said, "You never mind how I do things. You just get back to work." And so he was there. He started to clean some of the dishes because he hasn't cleaned the dishes for a day and a half because he didn't want to. See, all these dishes are built up because you didn't do anything. Of course, he was a little upset with that, so he found a potato on the side of the room over there that he tossed yesterday. And he went over there to pick it up, and when he bent down, his pants ripped. Not on the rear end, but the side of the pants, all along the side by his knee. Well, what happened was, when he was watching TV last night, his little sister was in there separating the thread on his pants. And he had paid no attention to her, thinking that she was just sitting there minding her own business. Well, in the meantime, she was there taking all the thread out of his pants. And she wanted to do the whole pant leg, but she couldn't because he got up and walked into the kitchen to get himself some popcorn. Now, popcorn was a little different than regular popcorn because it had orange balls in it. Now, these orange balls were actually real oranges that he found in the upper cupboard there, left side top. And when he brought them down, they were supposed to be refrigerated. But he didn't refrigerate them. He just put them right into the popcorn and thought he'd pop them with the popcorn. Well, when they popped, some of the popcorn got inside those orange balls and literally blew up because it got so hot. Now, the temperature has to be 296 degrees before a popcorn kernel will pop. And that's what he did. He popped that popcorn so hard he got every single one of those popcorns to pop, even if they were lodged inside that orange ball. And when they blew up, I mean, they blew up. Pow! Right into the old ceiling. That's why the ceiling was all full of holes. His wife walked in and said, "Why do you always have these ceilings full of holes all the time? What do you do to do that? What do you do?" Well, he couldn't explain to her, so he just ripped off his pocket and put it right on the table. Said, "Okay, I've had enough. I'm not going to do this anymore." She said, "You put your pocket back on your shirt right now." He said, "No, I'm not doing it." Well, then she got out a bottle of ink. Now, this was what they used to use years ago, bottles of ink, when they used to fill up their ink pens with ink. And she still had one of those bottles from 1927, I think is what it was. And she had other ones from later years, too, like 1963, I think. But she used the older one because it seemed to be more, I don't know what you call it, something that stains even more than regular ink. Well, this was it. And she thought she was going to be tricky. She walked around the back holding the ink bottle behind her back. And she casually walked by holding the ink bottle there as she thought she was hiding it from him. And then as soon as she got directly behind him, she pulled it out and held it right in front of him and started to sprinkle it on him. But before she could get all of the ink on top of him, he turned around and started to sprinkle it on her. Now, she was getting all full of ink. It was really dark black ink that was almost like concentrated, that it was spreading all over the place. It was almost like a ballpoint ink. You know how that is? Real gummy? Well, that's how it was. And she was smearing it in his face, and she smeared it on his back, and she smeared it on his chest and all over the place. And she got the same thing happen to her. She couldn't turn left or right without getting something slapped on top of her. Well, by the time it was all over, they were slipping and sliding all over the place. They had all over their shoes and their pants. It was just, and the floor was full of it. Oh, that ink was everywhere. It was everywhere. Oh, man, what a mess that was. And you ask yourself the question, how do you clean something like that up? How is it possible to clean something like that up? It wasn't. That's why they didn't do it. They left it like that. 14 years went by. And every now and then, on the third Friday of every second month, they'd come back in and look around. And they would say, like, you remember how that was when you turned and I really whopped you a good one right in the face with that ink? And he'd say, yeah, I remember that. I remember how I turned around and got you right there in the belly and all around the back, right up to your neck, and just squashed all that ink right into your neck like that. She'd say, yeah, just like I grabbed your leg and I stuck all that ink right up your pants. I remember that? He said, yeah, I remember that. And they laughed, and they had a lot of fun talking about that. But the floor was still permanently stained. And they put some of the clothes up on hangers just to show what that looked like way back then. So they had fun talking about that. And then Gilfrey, well, he was a small dog that could talk and stuff, and he used to say things in other languages. He knew four languages. He knew Spanish, French, Latin, and English. And he could do them all just as well. Say anything in any of those languages. People thought that he was a genius dog. Well, I didn't think that. I knew it. In fact, he used to wear a little label on his chest that said, I'm a genius dog. And it would hurt when they pulled it off because it was stuck to his hair on his chest. And or his fur, whatever they call that. He'd take a bath every now and then, too. And he would create his own waterfall. When he would go into the bathroom to jump in the tub, he would have a great big bucket of water up on top. And he had a rope that he would pull, and it would turn the bucket just enough to start the water pouring out. But the water had little pieces of stone in it to give it the effect of a real waterfall. And he would just pour that water down on top of him, and he just loved it. He would lean back and face up into the water, and the big rocks would come out and hit him in the head and stuff. And he liked that. They weren't real big. I mean, they were just small enough to, like, little pebbles. But it felt like a real waterfall, and that's what he liked about it. He really liked that. Well, Martha knocked on the window and said, hey, what are you doing? And he didn't know anybody could look into the bathroom through the window, but, of course, she was up on a ladder. That made things a lot different. They were on the second floor, you know. She was on that ladder, and it was a little bit windy out there, but she didn't care. And it was starting to rain, too. And she wasn't wearing her rain gear, and she was wearing some little lightweight tennis shoes that often got slippery in the wet weather. So she was starting to be concerned now, because I could tell by the whiteness of her knuckles that she squeezed on the ladder so that she wouldn't fall off. Well, needless to say, the dog jumped up, ran to the window, and he was just going right to the window so fast he couldn't stop because he was sliding, and bam, right into the window. Not only did he hit the window, hurt his nose, but he cracked the glass. Well, that got her a little concerned, because she knew that he could have come right through the window. So she said, just go back, go back. And as he was going back, she was still saying, go back. And he said, like, I had enough. And he came right back at her real fast again and bumped his nose against the window. And crash! The window pane popped completely out and right on top of her. And it startled her so much, she actually fell backward. She went down, all the way down to the ground, and she hit real hard on her back. Oh, jeez, he said. And the dog's head was still sticking out the window up there, and it was barking a couple times too, and said it didn't sound pretty. And he was saying stuff like that and pulled his head back in. And she was still, knocked the wind right out of her. Like that. And she could hardly even breathe. Well, that's a hard fall to go from that height all the way down. She'd say, well, what happened there? So she gathered herself back together again and literally had to reconnect her arm. Now, she didn't normally do that, but she knew medicine. And when she reconnected her arm, she knew just how to put the joint back together. And she actually attached it using a sewing needle and regular thread that she found in her left pocket. And she was able to do all this with one hand. You know, she was in a contest about 4 years ago when she used to do stuff like that. She would be able to sew things with one hand, and she was so good at it, now is the time to actually put it to good use. So she sewed her arm right back onto her chest again, or I should say shoulder. Luckily, she didn't sew it onto her chest. So she was lucky. She knew just how to position the arm, put the socket back in place, sew her arm back on, and get up. And with that fine surgery she did, I mean, she only used a needle. It was even more accurate than a scalpel. And she even was able to put all the nerves back together because she could move her fingers now. She can move the index finger, the middle finger, the ring finger, the baby finger, but she had a hard time moving her thumb. Oh, she thought, I must have missed one of the nerves. So without hesitation, she just reached her finger up to her shoulder, knew just where to go. She stuck her fingers right inside of her shoulder, right where it was separated. And she separated it with her fingers like that, reached in, and she held it in as far as she could, held it there. And then she separated the just enough, and she had her needle in her other two fingers, and she twiddled it around like that and whirled it and twirled it and stuff like that, and then pushed down and back up again, and then whirled it and twirled it one more time and snapped it just like that, and then put it back together and then sewed up the hole. Now she was going to try it again, and she kind of moved her shoulder around a little bit and started moving her fingers, her index finger, middle finger, her ring finger, her baby finger, and now... There it is. She did it. She moved her thumb. It was going up and down. It would just take a matter of days now before she would be able to move her thumb the way she always liked to. And it would be going up and down. You know how you give thumbs up? She was a pro at that. And she would soon become pro again as soon as her arm healed. And she would do it again and again and again if she had to. Sometimes she'd do a thumbs down. But mostly she did thumbs up. So that's what was nice about that. And there was a small sound. It was in the laundry basket. Look at that. Look at it down there moving. It was a sound inside the laundry basket making a peeping sound. Well, when she reached over to the laundry basket, her arm that was sewn on had a little bit of a difficult time latching onto the basket on that side. But the left side worked perfectly fine. So when she pulled it up real fast, her hand gave out on her right side and the basket fell over. And when it fell over, that little kitten fell right onto the ground, right onto the floor. And you could see him trying to stand up. His legs were stretched out, and the little tail was only about 3-4 inches long. And it was making that high-pitched sound. You know how they go there? Just like that. It was a fuzzy little thing. Really fuzzy little thing. And it turned around and looked at her, and had one big fang right in the middle of its mouth. One big giant fang. I don't know how it expected to eat anything. It seemed to get caught on everything as it walked by. But that fang was right there. I mean, it could poke it into anything it wanted to if it wanted to. But what were we going to do with that little kitten with that one big fang? I mean, it had a hard time eating food because it had to chop it up first with the fang and then try to eat it by setting the fang onto the side and then scarfing it up with his mouth. Well, that was hard to do, but it did it. After 4 long months, it was starting to become into a real big cat now. It was a fast grower. I don't know if they were feeding it growing pills or what, but it sure grew fast. Within a couple of months, it was almost full size. How does a cat grow so fast like that? How does it do it? Well, this particular cat did, and it knew just what to do, too. It caught mice. It caught raccoons, and normally cats don't do well with raccoons, but this particular one with that big giant fang, it caught raccoons, and, well, I can't tell you what it did, but it did catch them. And we didn't see many raccoons anymore. There weren't very many raccoons around, but it was able to do it, and it did a very good job, too. So they kept them around, hoping that one day it would become what you might call the guard dog of the house. And it sure did a good job because the raccoons were gone, all the mice were gone. Even the big dogs hesitated to come by. Once in a while, there would be a dog that'd come by and try to push his luck. That's just what it was, just luck, because he was torn up and just thrown right out of the yard. I don't care how big the dog was. That big dog showing off his muscles. Yeah, he thought he was a big shot. Came over. Cat just literally wiped them all over the place and threw them right out the yard. Now, that doesn't happen very often. This cat was something else. This cat was really something else. And so it just sat in a chair and waited for all the other animals in the neighborhood. Just said, if you're going to come around, I'm going to be here. And it would just lay there, or I should say sit there. And it had a little umbrella above its head so the sun wouldn't get too bright, because it was right in the window. And the sun would come through the window and shine on him while he was sitting in his chair. And he would sip lemonade or whatever that was. And he'd be sipping that, waiting for anybody coming by, any varmint of some sort. But nobody ever came by anymore. They knew he was too tough. So they all stayed away. That's how he kept his job as the guard dog of the house. That's why he stayed there. That's why he lived there. That's where he liked to sit all the time. And he slouched in his chair, twiddled his toes a little bit, laid his head back, and started to rest. And he fell asleep just like that. Toes sticking out, slouching in the chair, head laying back, and his big fang sticking up. He would just start snoring like that. Just like that. All the time. Snoring. That big old fang was just sticking right up there. As his eyes closed, and he took a deep breath and went to sleep. Right there, slouched in the chair. Just went to sleep. Sound asleep. Sound asleep. Oh, just resting and resting. Sound asleep. Very sleepy. Sound asleep.